A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast powered by KSLSports.com. My name's Cleon Wall. Speaking of KSLSports.com, Trevor Allen joining me here for this edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. And there's a specific reason why I have Trevor on today, and it's dealing with the best. And I'm not calling Trevor the best, even though he'd probably like me to call him
that.
The
would
best.
Actually be really nice.
It would
yes.
be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like for some people to call me the best, but right now I think the only person that's doing that is my mom. And that's pretty much it. And it's Mother's Day, so I better do something nice for her coming up this weekend,
yes.
right?
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that, I need to do the same.
Okay. All right. I would love to say we have a sponsor saying that you should go out and buy your mom some flowers or something like that, but we don't have a sponsor. But we are powered by KSLSports.com. Before we get to the best, as I've kind of teased, just going over some quick things about the Utah Jazz right now. It was interesting in the Deseret News, Trevor, Brad Rock came out and he said it's a no-brainer. The Jazz need to put their pedal to the metal. They need to go out and they need to get someone this season to make a difference. They stood pat last season. They can't do that this season. I think that from what they indicated in locker cleanout, that is going to be their MO this offseason. They're going to have to go out and they're going to have to get someone. They aren't going to stand pat. They're going to try and change things up. It's just, who are they going to try and go get? I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of who and when. That's really what we're looking for this offseason.
Yeah, and really, Dennis Lindsay talked about it in locker cleanout. He said that it was evident that we have a really good team, but playing against Houston, it showed that we didn't have a great team. And that's exactly right. I mean, we were all talking about, maybe a second round, a run into the second round, a run into the, maybe even into the conference finals, depending on, if they were in that Denver side of the bracket and, potentially getting past them and, playing the Warriors in the conference finals. But, it turned out to not be that way. And they just ran into a really good Houston team who has the Warriors up against the ropes. We'll find out in game five, but it just showed that of what they really need is shooting. And because even though they had the most open shots in the playoffs, they had one of the worst percentages.
It's interesting, though, because you have to give the Rockets a little bit of credit there. The Rockets played good defense, and we're seeing that here in the second round between the Rockets and the Warriors. So, again, no-brainer. We know it's going to happen. We know it's going to change somewhat because on draft day, that's going to be coming up here fairly soon, coming up next month. We'll have the draft, then free agency is going to be after that. And there could be some trades out there, too. So we're going to pick a couple of different reports. And they're not really reports. They're actually just stories about things the Jazz could do in the offseason. First of all, I wanted to talk about, and they both come from Bleacher Report, by the way, except for we're going to take a little aside on that. First was, they said, here are the big trades we want to see this offseason. These are the guys that we want to see move. And one of them was Kevin Love to the Utah Jazz for Derek Favors, Dante Exum, and then this year's first and second round draft picks. Well, let me just get your ideas here first on that, Trevor. I have my ideas on that about whether the Jazz should trade for Kevin Love or not. Your thoughts on whether the Jazz should trade for Kevin Love, especially giving away Derek Favors, who was so valuable for them this past offseason.
And that's
season, I should say.
And that is the only thing that is really, to where normally I would end up pulling the trigger on it, but the way that Derek Favors was playing the last couple of months of the season and also into the playoffs, he was very critical, especially in that game four win. But then you look at it, Kevin Love is a guy who can stretch the floor, can get onto the boards, but the problem is, how good is his defense? And then people say, well, he goes on under Quinn Snyder. The problem is, Quinn Snyder can't mold any player into playing defense, because a lot of that comes down to, you know, your mind. Do you want to play defense? And, you know, so that would be a challenge for Quinn Snyder. But then you look at, you know, everything else Kevin Love has, as long as he stays healthy, he's a very good player, an all-star.
I think you just hit it. Healthy.
Yeah.
And I think you have to take age into consideration, mm-hmm. and also the contract you're trading for. If you're able to get the Kevin Love of 3 years ago, I think you would make this deal a no-brainer. Now you're just like, do I really want Kevin Love, where he's making $30 million a year for the next 4 years, and he hasn't been healthy the last couple of seasons? Do I really want that Kevin Love? And by the way, I believe he's 31. I think he's 30 or 31. I think he's 31. Do you really want that Kevin Love coming and playing for the Utah Jazz? Yes, he would help the Jazz improve offensively. I'm not sure how much he would help improve defensively, but I think the health and the age and the contract all play into it. It was actually my exact feeling when we talked about Mike Conley. It's not that I don't like Mike Conley. I love Mike Conley. But I'm not sure I want to take Mike Conley's contract on. Granted, it's only for two more years, so that's even a little more palatable right now. But I'm not sure I want to take Mike Conley's contract on when he's 31. He's had a history of injuries. I'd love him on the team, but I'm not sure I want to trade for him. That'd be the big question mark there. So,
well, and really, you know, normally we'd end up talking about, do you really want to trade, you know, Exum? And right now, for me, yes. But the thing is, who wants him at this point? Because he's been so injury-prone throughout his whole career. You know, it's starting to have the looks, and I know there was more hype around Greg Oden, but Dante Exum, a top five pick, had a lot of promise, has been here for, 5 years now? He's shown very small glimpses of what he can be, but then he gets hurt again. And so, you know, the thing is, I would normally go for that trade, but it isn't because of Dante Exum, it's because of Derek Favors now, and it's like, well, Favors has a team option, $16 million for next year. Thing is, do you want to use that money for Derek Favors, or would you rather go after someone else who can maybe bring more offense for that same amount of value?
I doubt that this is going to happen. I don't think Kevin Love is going to be going to the Utah Jazz unless they're giving up even less than what they would be giving up, or they had a guarantee that Kevin Love would be healthy. So I don't think that's going to happen. Bleacher Report also had another story, and they went through every single team and they said, here's who should be on each team's big free agency board this offseason. And they listed three guys for the Jazz. Their number one guy was Chris Middleton, who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks and is playing well for the Milwaukee Bucks here in the second round of the playoffs. They also listed Malcolm Brogdon, who also plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, but hasn't been playing for the team because he's been injured, a foot injury. And then they listed as number three, Patrick Beverley. I'll go first on this one, Trevor. If they can get Chris Middleton, I think that that's a good get. I really do.
It's a great get.
I don't know how much money they're going to have to pay for him. You might have to lose Derek Favors in the process, but that's a good get because you get a secondary playmaker, a guy who's good at shooting. He can play both the two and the three. I don't know if you want to put him at the stretch four, but he can play at least the two and the three. He would be a good get, and it would be someone that would take pressure off of Donovan Mitchell, which is what a lot of people have been talking about, including me and you. It'd be great to find someone else who could go out and play. Here's one way that I think the Jazz could possibly get Chris Middleton. I've read a lot of stories about how he's had to kind of adjust to Mike Budenholzer's system. I think I said that right.
Yeah.
Anyway, in doing that, he's had to give up a lot of his mid-range game and playmaking on his own so that Giannis can create for other people. And it's meant that he has been mainly a three-point shooter. It's not that he hasn't created offense, but it's just changed his role a lot. If he came into the Jazz system, not only would he be counted on for shooting threes, but on the other hand, I think they would actually say to him every once in a while, we need you to go out there and create a shot for us. We don't care if it's a mid-range shot. We don't care what kind of shot it is. We just need you to make baskets because right now you're probably our second best guy on the team if it's creating baskets for himself.
Well, and you know, I also want to kind of bring up to you because you actually said in order to get Middleton, you're going to have to give up Derek Favors, which is pretty obvious. But also, to even maybe throw a little bit more money on it, on him, even though he is a free agent, you know, you would end up using the money that of what he made or could have been making is Rubio. You don't bring him back either. Do you then say that you do get Middleton, and do you move Donovan to point guard?
I think you would say yes. I think that's a definitive yes. You have to move him to being the guy who's going to be the primary ball handler for this team, and then go out and find, you know, kind of fill in around that those two guys. Here's the knock against probably getting Chris Middleton right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo really likes him, and I think he would like him to stay. I'm not sure where Chris is with his head right now. It might change, but the way they're playing right now, if they go to the NBA Finals, do you really want to leave a team that's going to the NBA Finals if they're offering you a max contract and go play for a Utah Jazz team just so you can – you'd make less money, that's for sure, but so you can maybe be one of the main guys for the Jazz? Or would you be pretty content saying, I'm still one of the main guys here, and I'm playing with a really good player who's, only 24 years old? I think that if they go far, if they make it to the Finals, I don't think Chris Middleton leaves the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't either, because, you know, you're saying main option. I mean, he would probably be in the exact same spot in here in Utah than he is for the Bucks, because Giannis is the number one option there. If he comes to Utah, Donovan Mitchell's number one. And so he would still be second fiddle, if you will, to both Donovan or Giannis. Thing is that both of them are really young players, but the Jazz are also playing in a very tough conference where if you're on the Bucks, as long as Giannis is there and you keep the same core together, you could be going to the Finals every single year. And the only team you have to compete with, if Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto, which I don't think he will, is Toronto. Other than that, you're going to be kind of like the Cavaliers, where you're going to the Finals every single year.
Or if Kevin Durant goes over to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, yeah. And that too. But even then, New York, say that he ends up going to the Knicks. You know, he's going to have to bring in some other guys. They're going to have to hope that the ping pong ball falls to number one, where they get Zion Williamson and a lot of those things. But I don't see Chris Middleton leaving, because especially if Giannis is going over to him and saying, dude, look, we're really, really good. We could be going to the Finals every single year for the next 5 years. You're going to be getting paid a lot of money. Why leave?
The only way I see the Jazz or maybe another team getting Chris Middleton right now is if they decide to come in and say, can you give us a hometown discount? And he may still take that. But I think if he feels like it's too much of a hometown discount, then he'd want to go. But other than that, if they say, you're a max level player, we're going to give you the max, we want you to stick around, you're too valuable for this team, I think Chris Middleton stays. Real quickly, we go down to Malcolm Brogdon. He's a starter for the Bucks too, but he's been injured. This is a guy that I actually think the Jazz could possibly get. He's a restricted free agent. If they give a lot of money to Chris Middleton, and they've already given a lot of money to Eric Bledsoe, and in the coming years, they're going to give a lot of money to Giannis Antetokounmpo, they're going to start running out of money unless they want to pay the luxury tax. And they're in Milwaukee. They're not in Los Angeles or New York. So he may actually be prime for picking if the Jazz want to give one of those poison pill contracts and say, hey, we'd like for you to come play for our team. It's not a bad pickup. Malcolm Brogdon's actually turned into, that sounds bad, like he was horrible before. He's improved enough where he is a pretty good guard for the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
Well, and every single year he has upped his scoring average. He, you know, in his rookie year, where he won Rookie of the Year as a second round draft pick, 10.2 points per game. Then he moved to 13 points per game, and then up to 15.6 points per game this season. And he's shooting 42% from downtown. I mean, given he's shooting just under 4 per game, but that's still really good percentage and something you really need. And he's also a guy who could play point guard. You know, he's that combo guard of what Donovan Mitchell can do, and, you know, being able to play off of Donovan or be the primary ball handler.
Yeah, he's a good shooter. He plays good defense. I'm not sure how he would be. If you're looking for a guy who's going to break you down and take it to the basket, that's probably not Malcolm Brogdon. But he is pretty solid. And he'd be a good plan B, I guess you could say, which may actually be really plan A for the Jazz, depending on what happens with Milwaukee and if they can sign him. The bad thing is, restricted free agency, whatever the Jazz or any other team puts up, the Milwaukee Bucks can match that if they would like. But I think if they are able to pay Chris Middleton what he's asking for, Malcolm Brogdon could be ripe for the picking unless they want to start trading away other players. Any other thoughts on Malcolm Brogdon there?
I mean, no, he's a very solid player, especially for his age. He's only in his third season in the NBA and has already, you know, gotten better every single year. I would think he would be a pretty big pickup. I would say he's plan B right now, because if I'm the Jazz, I'm shooting for somebody who's maybe been in the league a little bit longer and, you know, who's really shown of what they can bring and come in and make an immediate impact. Brogdon, I think, can. It's just you don't know being on a brand new team.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Last one, which was Plan C, which is Patrick Beverley.
No for me. No.
Here's what I like about Patrick Beverley. He can shoot, and he's a dog on defense. He really dogs whoever he plays against. But I'm not sure, as we've heard this phrase in the past, I'm not really sure he's Jazz DNA. He's Jazz DNA when it comes to shooting, and he's Jazz DNA when it comes to playing defense. But beyond that, I'm not really sure he's Jazz DNA maybe off the court. So I'm not – and personally, if you're going to go after a guy, he better be, like, to me, like Plan D or E. Like, we've run out of guys. We need to have a guy that plays next to Donovan Mitchell. And that's the other thing I'm not sure I really like about him, and that's a smaller guard next to Donovan Mitchell. Donovan's going to have to definitely playmate, because that's not Patrick Beverley's forte.
Yeah, I also don't think Quinn wants to be a babysitter. I mean, basically, that is what Beverley does. He's a guy who tries to get into other guys' heads and not play as well. I mean, his points per game dipped to 7.6 points per game, even though he only played 11 games last year due to injury. He was at 12.2 at that time. But the way I look at it, Beverley is more like the guy who, kind of like what the Jazz were in when Gordon Hayward decided to take his sweet time during free agency. And then, you know, the plan B, the plan C, the plan D were already all gone by the time Gordon Hayward chose to go to Boston, and then they brought in Thabo Sefolosha and Jonas Jerebko. That, to me, is where Beverley is on my list.
Okay. No, and that's fair. A couple of other guys that were talked about on SportsBeat, and you wrote a story up on this on KSLSports.com, and this was talked about by Jeremiah Jensen, also talked about by Spencer Linton. They talked about who are the guys that they would go after. And this is a guy, Jeremiah mentioned a guy that I think a lot of people are after, and I think this is a guy that you're in favor of too, and that's Tobias Harris. The big question there is, Tobias Harris going to leave the 76ers? If they get eliminated fairly soon, then maybe the Jazz actually have a pretty good chance. Why do you like Tobias Harris?
I love the fact that he, and you know, as I was writing up the story, Jeremiah Jensen made a lot of great points. He's 26 years old. He's still really young. He hasn't hit his peak yet. He's getting there. But then you look at, I mean, the only problem is that he's traveled so much. He's gone to so many different teams and been traded almost, you know, every other year of his career so far. But, he, you know, for Philly in the 27 games, he's averaging 18.2 points per game. And he's shooting 32%, but he's also shooting 5 threes per game. That's pretty good. But he's a guy who's a really good ball handler, can get to the rim, but can also spot up and, you know, hit shots, which is what the Jazz need. They need that stretch four, because as we saw in the playoffs, Jay Crowder isn't quite that guy who can, you know, space the floor and be that threat from downtown. But the thing is that Tobias Harris can do all of that, as well as grabbing rebounds. But I just like his all-around game, his age, and I feel like if Philly, and I've actually been saying this to a couple of people, friends of mine who are Jazz fans, if Philly gets bounced, which after what happened in game five, it very well could happen, that if Philly gets bounced, problem is Philly also has a bunch of money towards Joel Embiid. Jimmy Butler is probably going to get a big contract, especially if you're wanting him to stay. He's going to want max money. Thing is, are you going to have enough? I mean, the only thing you have going for you is Simmons is still on his rookie contract.
The 76ers have said they want to keep both those players, but the way they've been playing, I'm not sure they're going to do that. Earlier this season, I thought of the two, I thought Jimmy Butler would be the one that would leave. But the way they played in the playoffs and how they've had to rely on Jimmy Butler so much, I'm now starting to lean to thinking he might stay, and they might say to Tobias Harris, I know we gave up a lot for you. Maybe they think maybe we can sign you and do a sign and trade so we can get something for you because we gave up a lot to give you. But it would almost feel like that maybe Tobias Harris would be the guy that is on his way out. It would be a nice pickup for the Jazz. would provide shooting. I believe he's shooting like at least 40% from three-point land for this season, because he's played for both the Clippers and the Sixers this season. I may be wrong on that.
He has shot 43% in time with the Clippers, and he's all the way down to 32%, but out of the both this season, 39.7.
Yeah.
For the year. So, 40.
He would be a good pickup. It's just, again, it's that, I wonder if they're going to get him, and I wonder how many other teams are going to try and get him too. If he was able to come to the Jazz, the one thing that the Jazz have that they could sell to Tobias Harris, I think, not only with the culture and everything else, but I think, again, you go to him and you say, you're going to be one of the guys. When you're in Philadelphia, you're one of the other guys. And maybe that doesn't bother him. Maybe he doesn't mind being one of the other guys because he has Joel Embiid, because there's Jimmy Butler, and you also have Ben Simmons, and those guys can all get him the ball. But if he's able to come to the Jazz, he is going to be really your second guy other than Donovan Mitchell, who's going to be when it comes to being a potential scorer, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and really the way that I would look at it as far as the, you know, sales pitch to him, when, you know, Dennis Lindsay and crew go out and start talking to some of these free agents, they're like, look, Tobias, obviously it looked like that we really needed help after, you know, the Rockets series. You could be that guy who could take us over the top and compete with not only, you know, Denver and Portland and, you know, the Spurs, but also Houston and Golden State. You could be one of those guys, and you would come in right away and really start and be second fiddle offensively to Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, Donovan's really, really young, and Donovan took the Jazz to the second round in his rookie year. You just look at that, and that they're getting better every year. It's just that they ran into a good Rockets team. That's really all that we have to say, is that they ran into the Rockets when they were red hot, and it's showing right now. But that would be the pitch that I would make to Tobias Harris if I had a shot at him.
So the guy that Spencer Linton brought up was Kemba Walker. I like Kemba as a scorer, but I'm not sure I like putting him next to Donovan Mitchell in a backcourt. Kemba Walker, I think they list him at 6'1". I think he's probably more like 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
He has got great moves, and he can score, but I don't think that would be a good idea to go out and get Kemba Walker for this team. Unless Donovan Mitchell was able to magically grow like a couple of inches in the next couple of months. So I just don't – I think it'd be good to have his scoring on this team and his shooting on this team. I think he's a bit of a liability on defense. I just don't think if you're going to spend your money, I'm not sure Kemba Walker is the guy you want to spend your money on.
I also don't know if Kemba wants to come to Utah. And, you know, as much as I would say that, you know, Kemba's a guy from New York, say that Kyrie Irving, and as of right now, I don't think he's going back to Boston. But if Kyrie doesn't go to New York, does Kemba go to Boston? Does he go to New York? Does he stay on the East Coast and play on a team who will get to the playoffs right away? Because him alone cannot bring Charlotte to the playoffs. They were close, but they weren't able to. But that is where Kemba needs help. And I think maybe he also needs to take some of the scoring load off of his own self and being able to rely on other guys, because he had his second best year as far as averaging, as far as dimes, 5.9 per game. His high is 6.1 back in 2013, 2014.
That's what the kids call it, dimes, right?
Yeah, dimes, assists. Yeah.
Okay.
Dishing out.
Going back really quickly, going back to the Bleacher Report, or story, I guess you could say. Other guys of interest, Ricky Rubio was actually the top person that they had picked for the Chicago Bulls to pick up, because they need someone to be able to pass the ball around. Might be a good fit. I've always said that I thought he'd be a good fit with Boston, but I think Boston has their aspirations set a little bit higher. But I think Ricky Rubio, it's around a young core. They may pay him a lot of money, at least for a couple of years. Might be a good fit for Ricky Rubio to go to the Bulls. So,
well, it would, because it's a very young team. He'd be a guy who'd come in and be that instant leader. The problem is we don't really know of what the Bulls are going to be like under Jim Boylan. You've only got a few games, and we've already seen how kind of a mess it is. And, you know, he might be able to turn things around, but the way I look at Rubio, and I hate to say this, but, you know, it's the way I feel about it. I don't think Ricky Rubio is a starting point guard on a title contending team. Ricky Rubio is a backup point guard on a title contending team, but a starting point guard on a good team, on a playoff team.
See, I think he could be, but again, I think you have to have at least three shooters around him.
Yeah.
So that you can open up the floor for him to drive to the basket and dish. He is a really smart player. He is just inconsistent with his shot right now.
And really, of what the NBA is moving to is scoring point guards. Kemba Walker, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, you know, Donovan Mitchell, if you want to put him in that point guard conversation. Those guys can knock down big shots at big moments and on a pretty consistent basis. Ricky Rubio can't.
While I've got you here, one other guy I thought of who is a restricted free agent and who is a point guard is a Terry Rozier. Now, he may go back to the Celtics if Kyrie bolts and goes somewhere else. They may not want him at all. Your thoughts on Terry Rozier? Do you think I'm not sure the Jazz would be interested in him just because, much like Ricky Rubio, he is so streaky. He played so well in the playoffs last year, but he is inconsistent with his shot.
That is why his name is being brought up, is because of what he did in the playoffs last year, because he had to fill in for Kyrie Irving, who was out for the year. But I don't know. For me, for him to be the starting point guard, I'm going to take a pass on him because, I mean, I don't know him personally, and I haven't talked to anybody around him. He's probably going to want a lot of money, and he's still banking on that playoff performance last year. But unless Kyrie Irving, or you know, unless something changes in Boston, I think he's going to stay there if Kyrie Irving leaves. But I don't think he's going to come to Utah, and I don't think the Jazz are going to want to pay him the money that he wants. And you know, because in order for that to happen, you know, Boston can match, so they would have to throw a lot of money at him to where Danny Ainge is like, he's not worth that. We're gonna pass. Other than that, they'll likely match because they need at least some point guard.
Thanks to the Karate Kid for the theme music right there. We're going to talk about the best. And this is a story that Trevor's been putting together for KSLSports.com. Why don't you go ahead and explain what we're talking about here, Trevor?
So of what I wanted to do to kind of, you know, put some positive on the Jazz season, because it ended on a pretty sour note, you know, as you might imagine when you had a lot of hype going into the playoffs, and then you only win one game and you get basically dominated by the Rockets. I mean, it was getting better towards the end. So I wanted to go through all the moments off the court and on the court and come up with a top 20 list of on-court moments and top 20 list of off-court moments from the entire Jazz season, to kind of, because not everyone's going to think of all of these moments. And so it's kind of like, oh yeah, that happened, you know, something like that, or something that you might have missed. And so what I did, I was going through the archives, compiled a list, and turned it into a, you know, everyone likes lists, and so why not?
All right, well, I did not go with my top 20, and that show would take a long time, by the way. I came up with my top three, and I know some of them were on there, but my top three, let's go with my top three off-the-court moments, and I believe I some of them are on there, and I would probably say number three for me. And a lot of these are going to deal with I was there, so I kind of experienced what was going on. So a lot of the road games, I didn't, of course, didn't go to the road games, didn't go to all of the home games. But I would probably say top three for me, number three. Actually, you know what? I'm going to move this to number two. Let me talk about number three. I'm going to say the camaraderie in the locker room, but it plays off of on there. You put Donovan Mitchell holds the sports beat mic. Let's just say those guys had a lot of fun in the locker room teasing each other, especially after victories. But they had a lot of fun teasing each other. The one moment that you talked about in there, all of us were in there interviewing Joe Ingles, and Sportsbeat was trying to get their mic in there. Sadly, I probably should have volunteered to do it. But
normally you do.
Yeah, this time it was Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan, they kept asking him, hey, Donovan, do you have any questions? And so he and Joe had a nice back and forth. But the great thing is that they don't, when we're in the middle of interviewing these guys, sometimes it's a distraction. But in reality, it's kind of fun when they butt into each other's interviews and give each other a hard time. That shows how much this team really liked each other. So that was probably one of my top thoughts this year, or top off the court issues. I know there were a ton of them that were probably better than that, but for me, that was one of the top fun parts off the court, was seeing how these guys interacted with each other, especially in the locker room when we were there.
That came in at a number 10 on my list as far as him holding the sports beat mic. But yeah, just of what you're saying, they're really, really, I mean, we heard about it constantly at the locker room clean out, you know, interviews, is that they're all friends. And like Donovan was walking down the hall as Joe Ingles is sitting at the podium talking to us. And, you know, Donovan pops his head in and is just going, Jingling Joe. And then, you know, And then he steps out for a minute, and then Joe Ingles is talking and talking, and then he says, if Donovan had passed me the ball a little bit more, you know, just kind of poking fun at each other. And,
yeah.
You know, it really just goes to show that they really are friends off the court.
Number two for me now, I will say, is when Kyle Korver talked about Donovan Mitchell post-game after game three of the playoffs against the Rockets. And again, I think the thing that impressed me the most about that was just that Kyle Korver said, we were done asking him questions. And
you and I were both there.
You and I were both there. I actually got in a little late, and I was about ready to step away. He goes, hey, can I say one more thing? And then he just starts riffing on Donovan and what a great player he is. And we could sit there and we could gush over Donovan more. But I was impressed that Kyle Korver just wanted to volunteer that. Donovan had missed a game-tying shot, didn't make it. He had had a rough outing, but he was there to prop up his teammate, and it was kind of refreshing. It wasn't a, hey, you guys in the media, you guys stink because you bring all of us down because of this or that or this or that. It was more of a, you guys need to really give Donovan Mitchell a lot of credit, and you need to pay attention to him because he's going to be a really great player. So I really like that. That was my number two.
Yeah, that came in at a number five on the list. But, I mean, just of what you're saying about that, it was very unique because normally that is something that is brought up when we ask him, hey, what do you actually think about Donovan Mitchell? None of us said anything about that. We never asked him about Donovan. We never asked him about him missing that wide open shot in game three, which is where the comments came from. But of what I like, too, is that he also compared him to his 16-year NBA career and that he's never seen a player like Donovan Mitchell who's taken on so much of the load already. And to me, that would mean more coming from Kyle Korver than it would some other guys who are maybe really, really good but haven't been in the league as long. And Kyle Korver, having it come from him because he's been through almost he's been all around the NBA, played in the NBA Finals, played with some of the best players in the league. And to have that come from him, that would be really special if I were Donovan Mitchell.
My number one was the fallout from Russell Westbrook engaging a fan. And what I mean by that is I was there at the game, totally missed it because I was on the side that the Oklahoma City Thunder's bench is on. I didn't see anything of it, but a lot of other people around the arena, I saw the tweets going out. So the next thing you knew we were going to go have to talk to Russell Westbrook after the game. And so we went and did that. He explained to us what happened. A few days later, you had Gail Miller come out making an announcement. I think that's probably, to me, that's the number one moment, just what happened at the game. Because in reality, I know you could say it happened during a game, but it was off court while it all happened. And then the fallout from that, what we had to talk about afterwards, what the Jazz players had to say afterwards, what Gail Miller had to say afterwards. I think, personally, that was the number one off court moment for the Jazz this season.
Yeah, and you know that actually came in tied for third. I know you're like tied. Well,
no, I
had to put that on there because the other tie for third was Kyle Korver's Players Tribune piece, and so they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, Kyle said he's actually been working on that for about a year, but I think it kind of pushed along after the Russell Westbrook incident happened.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that you know it was one of the high moments in there. And then just to kind of round out it, if you want to go to kslsports.com to check it out. But number two, Ricky Rubio visiting up at the Huntsman Cancer Institute. Jeremiah Jensen interviewed him up there and followed him around with the camera. It was really, really cool to get that. And then number one was Joe Ingles announcing his son's autism diagnosis.
And we also, you're going to have, or you have had, on-court moments. Is mm-hmm. that's coming out right now then?
Yeah, so I just posted 11 through 20 plus the honorable mentions. And then I will have 1 through 10. But I could tell you now, because people could be listening to this after it's already posted.
Yeah.
But you know, just to kind of go off of a couple of the highlights and, you know, here, and I don't know if you have any from on the court.
Go ahead. Go with yours first.
Donovan Mitchell's career night against the Bucks, number one. That was a phenomenal game. And then he tied it against Denver. But of what made it such a great moment was that Giannis was going toe-to-toe with him. I think he had 54 points, I think Giannis had, or something like that. Donovan went off. Number two is Donovan's fourth quarter, plus that alley-oop dunk from Royce O'Neal in game four of the playoffs. That was amazing. Number three, Joe Ingles' kiss against the Pistons. Kissing to the fan, blowing a kiss, who turned out to be a Laker fan. And then number four is Derek Favors dunking on Ersan Ilyasova in that Bucks game where Donovan went off. And then number five is Headband Joe against Memphis.
I'm not going to argue with you on any of those, actually. I actually put Headband Joe up to number three. I only did a top three, so.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to argue with you. There were actually a lot of fun and great moments this season. The one that I did not list, and I'm not sure if it was on your list or not, off-court moments, but it deals with on-court, and that was Donovan Mitchell tweeting out, New Year, New Me, And boy, did he live up to that this season. I'd probably say that would probably be in the honorable mention category. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he lived up to it. He basically said, I'm going to be better this in the new year. And that's exactly what happened.
I got to go back and add that now.
I'm making you work harder.
It's okay. That's fine.
But it's good. Make sure you log on, kslsports.com. Check out Trevor's story about the 20 best on-court moments and the 20 best off-the-court moments for the Utah Jazz. Is there a particular favorite on either side for you?
I mean, I really like... Well, there's actually a lot of them. I had a lot of fun putting this together, but I got to say, Joe Ingles' kiss against the Pistons is up there. But Donovan's game four, the fourth quarter and the dunk, you and I were both there. It was so loud.
Oh, yeah.
That was so enjoyable just to watch that and, you know, see that whole quarter happen and just for them, you know, being down 3-0 to have that happen. Off the court, I mean, pretty much of what, you know, the tops are, you know, it's really the guys coming together and being involved in this Salt Lake City community.
Well, check it out at kslsports.com. Thanks a lot to Trevor for joining me. It was a longer Jazz Notes podcast, but I enjoyed him joining us here today. More playoffs coming up. Well, the draft lottery's coming up, but we already know where the Jazz are going to draft. But the draft is coming up soon. We'll have much more information. Plus, it's the 40th anniversary of the Utah Jazz, so we'll have much more on that on kslsports.com and right here on the KSL the Jazz Notes podcast, which you can find on the KSL News Radio app or kslsports.com. Thanks, kslsports.com. Boy, it has been a long podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.